right, welcome. All the things that Sarah said, amen. And y'all, we get a wonderful opportunity to exercise our freedom to worship God, to come together and to sing. So let's take full advantage, amen. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. And I pray that you'd have your way. Have your way in our heart. Have your way in this service, in this church. Father, be glorified. Thank you for the opportunity we have to come together freely in worship. And Lord, we love you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. I saw a saying y'all were working with this morning. Verse 1 of the
Amen. That was a sweet, sweet moment to have together. Nani's class, are y'all ready? Nani's back. Woo! Miss Gwen did wonderful in her stead, but I know these are Nani's babies. Not technically, spiritually, and so we're glad that they're here. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2. So if you have a copy of the Bible with you, you can go to Ephesians chapter 2. This is going to be, I've had the privilege of already sharing this message this morning. I had the privilege of preaching in a church in Winona that meets at 9 o'clock in the morning. And preaching this message, it is kind of tough. And it's going to be a little tougher for me here because this is my home group. and I'm just going to reveal some things that I've been struggling with over this past week, and talking about how God is bringing me through, and then put that challenge on us, okay, as a group. But we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2, and in this, just to give some idea about the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians is written about the grace of God, the theological implications of the grace of God, and the community that is built upon the foundation of the grace of God. We call that community the church. Okay, the church is to be a community of people based on the grace that God gave us through Christ. Okay, and the book of Ephesians talks about that. And so we've been preaching on grace, and we're going to continue this, and we're going to talk about the prevailing peace in the community of grace. Because I believe that we're living in a time, maybe not, sometimes we say more so than any other time. I don't know about that. I don't mean to be exaggerating, but it's no exaggeration to say that we need grace. The grace of God for ourselves and our souls, and a grace in accepting one another, in being different. We need that foundation that says, I know I'm accepted by God, therefore I can accept through God any and everyone who's brought to me. Wow, that's what we need. And God has it. I heard a quote today that kind of stuck in my brain. It was from Henry Ford. He said, stop finding fault and look for a remedy. Stop finding fault in everybody and everything and look for a remedy. And I'm convinced this morning that the remedy, not only for me, but for our community, and even broader, our state and country and world, is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's found in the grace of God. That's where the remedy is. Man, if there ever was a time when the church, whose one mission is to get the gospel out and to see people grow in the gospel, if there's ever a time where we needed to take that serious with our time, our talent, and our treasure to invest in what God has, boy, what a time. We live in a time like that. Let me read this passage and I'll pray for us and we'll go. So we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 through 18. I'm slicing and dicing a thought that Paul has going through the Holy Spirit. So I invite you, when you have time at home, go back and read chapter 1 and 2. Read chapter 3, 4, 5, and 6. Read the book of Ephesians. Get it in there. You know, it's not going to hurt you. Hi, friend. And it's not going to hurt you. Just get in there and dig in. Because I'm only going to hit just this one spot. So if you leave unsatisfied, say, I want more, go get you some. All right? Grab the Bible down, dust it off. You'll cough a little. Turn it open. Grab it. It's okay. It's still valid. It hasn't, you know, the expiration date on the Word of God isn't up. It ain't spoiled. It ain't curdled. Just go ahead and open it up. It's in there. It's good. Okay? All right. Here's what it says. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and he preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you for loving us. As we come together, and we've come and we're thankful. I'm so thankful. The opportunities you give us, would you help us? Would you start a healing? Would you start working in a body of people in Grenada, Mississippi, to be so grace-oriented that anything that came to us that was race-oriented wouldn't belong, would stick out like a sore thumb, and we'd know what to choose. Would you help people who claim to be Christians and claim to be the church of Jesus Christ to stand and give the gospel and trust the gospel and not feel like they got to win every other war out there. Just let you do your work. Father, thank you for loving us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to give you the long version, kind of. I'm going to make it as quick as I can, but first time in my life that I had ever lived in a house that had cable television was when I moved to Grenada, Mississippi in 2005. You know, before then, we didn't have it. I didn't grow up with it, just didn't have cable. Just wasn't something that we ever had, and so I was not used to it. 2005, around May or June, we get cable for the first time, and I start watching the news. Like, not a little bit. I started watching the news like a lot, right? Like, I don't want to be rude and say like a junkie is doing drugs or an alcoholic is drinking beer, but my point is this. I was watching it like I was hooked. Clink! And I was thinking to myself that watching it had some kind of good effect. And then Hurricane Katrina hit. And then everybody on the news started finding fault. Well, this guy did this, and because this hurricane came, these people don't like these people. Do y'all remember that time, right? Made me sick. I mean, literally, it got me sick. It was giving me anxiety. It was spiking my fear. And more than that, it was making me angry. Just internally angry. Well, we rock and rolled on, and we got the election seasons of 2008 and all that. And all the stuff that was going around at that time, and again, there I was, stuck. Taking all that stuff into my brain, all that stuff into my heart. Getting angry. Having my opinions of right and wrong. Because everybody has opinions. Everybody. I've heard people say opinions are like armpits. You know, everybody's got a couple and they usually stink. I wasn't looking at it. I got them. So I was getting my opinions and I was getting angry. And I'd like to say I always kept that anger inside, but I know I probably didn't. It probably made me short in my patience with people who I saw every day, probably with Sarah and the kids, probably more than anybody else, because I was just angry and I was broiling inside. And we went through more time and all this stuff and another election cycle. And I finally got smart. I'm not telling you what to do with your cable, but what I did was stop mine. And I said, I can't do this. I can't be who I am. I'm going to have to make a choice. I'm going to be the guy sitting on my couch angry about the world watching the news, or I'm going to cut this junk off and get into the Word and do something different. And I was glad for that. But you know, it can find you, or you can find it if you want to. So this is what happened to me this past week. This past week, I was at a Unity prayer breakfast. Get that. Unity prayer breakfast. I did have breakfast. I had some fruit. And I'm there. And there's other people in this room who are there. But to me, the talk started getting very divisive. It started getting good guys, bad guys. The tension in the country over what happened in Charlottesville, Virginia, landed in this room, in this church room, where I've been a friend and a guest before on many occasions, and that tension was there. I felt at some point targeted at me. I was behind the curve a little bit. I had not known fully what happened at Charlottesville because I don't have news to watch it 24/7. So I go and I start researching. What do you think happened when I started researching? I got angrier. I saw the anger and the hatred that was displayed by everybody involved. I saw the manipulation and the hate. And my first inclination wasn't to love a brother. I was getting angry. And the enemy was telling me, I got to choose sides. You got to choose sides. You got to decide where you're going to stand. You got to choose sides. And in the time of my anger, I could only see two sides. There's a seems to be a white side and a black side. There seems to be a Republican side and a Democrat side. There seems to be a conservative side and a liberal side. There seems to be just those two choices. You're going to choose this way or you're going to choose that way. Choose. And the enemy was making me, I was getting mad. I was in my flesh. Because here's something people don't know. Maybe you know. You all know. I'm a blue-collared, redneck dude from Detroit who got saved by Jesus. If I get in my flesh, it ain't no good. I just promise you. There ain't nothing good that dwells in me to where I can say, I'll just let my better judgment and better character take care of this. Jesus is my better judgment and my better character. There ain't nothing good resides in me. And when I get off into my own head and my own opinions and my own stuff, it ain't pretty. It ain't Christian. And it ain't nice. And that's just right where I was going in my brain. God intervened. And let me tell you how God intervened. Because this is the point. God intervened and said, you do have to choose sides. Kind of struck me. He just said, you're forgetting about my side. You're only looking at the world's sides. You're choosing between this side of the world and that side of the world. And you're forgetting that's not all that's there. You need to choose me. You need to choose my side. You need to choose my word. You need to choose my church. You need to choose my son. You need to choose my way. You need to let the spirit of the world go and you need to be filled with my spirit. Everything in the world, whether it's white, black, Democrat, Republican, conservative, or liberal, is temporary. It ain't meant to last and it don't glorify God. Period. Period. Everything of God will last. Everything from God will glorify God. The church is meant to glorify God. And y'all, that's exactly what she does when we allow ourselves to be on His side and choose. I'm going to hit that word heavy. Choose. To say, I won't be labeled in this camp or that camp because I'm going to so identify myself with God that if you're going to truthfully say anything about me, it's not that, well, he's a white conservative Republican. You're going to say, that dude's God's man. I'm not quite sure about where he stands everywhere else. That'd be fine. Because God bought me. You might say, well, that sounds demeaning. I don't care what it sounds like. I was heading fast forward to hell on my own, in my own ignorance and anger, without God. Listen, I didn't read this verse, but this was me here in Ephesians chapter 2, right above where we started. Verse 12, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's me. That was me. That's my testimony. Why would I be so prideful now about having some of these other labels? I'm white, I'm Republican, I'm conservative. So what? Why would I hang on to those? Or I'm white and liberal and Democrat, or I'm black and conservative and Republican. Why am I ever, however you want to arrange the pieces, who cares? Are you God's man? Are you God's woman? Or are you not? That's what counts. That's the side we should be choosing. I hear a lot of people, they'll get upset. They'll look out on TV and they'll say, well, these people aren't choosing God. Well, they ain't been called to, you've been. The church ought to stand the tallest for God. The church ought to be the one who first and foremost chooses His way above every other way. I got to thinking about this. Those two groups. You got one group yelling, Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter. You got the other group yelling out, White Lives Matter, White Lives Matter. Do you think that's going to result in anything good? Matter of fact, take all the protests that ever have happened and tell me if they have produced an ounce of good anywhere. It was a year ago, during a protest, 5 police officers were targeted because of their race and assassinated. Tell me the good again. What good comes out of all that mess? But you know what I know? They don't know. They don't know. They're not called of God to be the church, to be the bride, to be the one who stands up with the gospel and the joy of Christ and the grace of God. The church has. Not the politicians. Not the folks in Washington. We could try to blame them and find fault in them all we want, but they ain't been called to the most important task in the world. All they have is nuclear weapons. And it don't matter how many of those shoot off. This is God's world. It'll come to an end when He wants. And it's God's gospel. And He wants to save people in this dumb old world before it gets blown up. God doesn't desire that any perishes. This isn't my words. This is the word of God in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Not desiring that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 1 Timothy chapter 2, right around verse 3, says that God desires men everywhere to be saved. That's the big deal that needs to be pushed. That's the agenda that needs to be promoted. That's the gospel that only the church has been given. Not to politicians, not to school districts, not to policemen, not to firemen, not to military. It was such a joke. We're going to send our military to change hearts and minds. That's not what they're to do. That's not their job. Really ain't. Only the gospel can really change hearts and minds. I'm pro-military. I love our guys and gals who fight and make that sacrifice. But their job is not to change hearts and minds. Only God can. Which means that has been given to the church. I saw in myself a hater. I saw in myself someone who could so easily pick a worldly side and choose violence. And I'm supposed to be a man of God. To stand up and lead communities, churches of grace to bind together, not come apart. So I realized again, I had to make the choice again to say, I'm on God's side. And the grace of God is for everybody. There's nobody, nobody not within His range. Let's look at this scripture real quick. Thank you for allowing my rant. I hope if that helped any, I hope it did, because I'm telling you, I struggled. And I know I'll struggle again, but I know this. The more I'm invested in Christ, in His church, in His plan, the better I'm going to be. Pick His side. Choose His side. First, grace is the gift of God, and grace is the foundation for all Christian community. Grace is the foundation for any community in the world that's going to have true peace. Grace is the foundation. Y'all look down for a second. You see our floor? Kick it if you want to. It's good. It's good. Can I tell you something about this floor? It's not fancy, although it looks like we spilled tea all over it, don't it? But it came out nice. I like it. But there's nothing that we could do in this building until this floor was done. Man, we couldn't do anything else. You can't build anything until the foundation is laid. You can't hold events and have church and sing and do good stuff until the foundation is laid. Once the proper foundation is laid, you can build good things on it. You can do good things in it. Grace is the foundation for the good things that God wants to happen in the world. It's grace. There's signs of grace in the passage I read. Now, this book is full of grace, and that's why I want you. Go read it. Eat it up. Read chapter 2. I'll read this verse. By grace you've been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that we should walk in. That's the verses preceding what I read. This is a grace book. Grace is the foundation. If you don't realize that you've been received by God through grace, which is just a gift, you're going to have a tendency not to receive other people based on grace. If you feel like you've had to earn it with God, you're going to make everybody earn it with you. And you're going to ask for things that they can't give you. You're going to ask for some consistency. You're going to ask for some character traits. You're going to ask for some things that not everybody in the world can come up with. But I'm going to tell you something. If you realize the truth, The truth is this, you and I fall so short of God's standard, we've been received in by His grace that we ought to be so open to receiving. We ought to be so open to accepting. Not accepting bad as good, but accepting people right where they are. Showing them a better way, loving them, and extending grace. Here's the signs of grace in the passage I did read. It says in verse 13, you have been brought near by the blood of Christ. How did the blood in Christ get involved? He got involved because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's how the blood of Christ got involved. In Himself, He Himself in His flesh, in one body, through the cross. That's where the grace shows up in the passage where I'm reading. It doesn't have to say the word grace. We see the act of grace. We see the man of grace. Jesus Christ is the man of grace. So we know that this is based on a grace foundation. Once you have the foundation laid, you begin to build. This passage is full with peace. The idea of peace in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the word was shalom. Y'all say some Jewish stuff. Ready? Say shalom on three. One, two, three. Well, thank you. Shalom to you also. I appreciate it. Y'all are so friendly. Shalom has the idea not of an uneasy peace, but really it has the idea of what we would probably call heaven. Serenity. Peace. A wholeness. Not peace. Well, I know that if I go home and I just live in my little place and I don't ever come out and I don't ever talk to strangers and I never go to that part of town or I never do that, I have peace. That's not peace. That's the American lifestyle. Peace is where you go, I have peace. Come what may, wherever I am. It's not circumstance-based, it's grace-based. And I have it because God gave it to me like a gift. Well, peace is not just a gift for you and me individually. Peace is a community gift. Peace is a community gift. What Christ did was to bring peace, not just to individuals, but to communities. And why I say that, some of us are not aware of this. But did you know that the Bible was preached during the Bible times, the first century times, there was horrible racial divisions? Did y'all realize that? Somehow or another, we live in a time where we think we invented racial divisions. And that's dumb. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. I'm like, do you think this way? Because that's dumb. Like, that preacher's not very nice. He's just not a nice man. Well, I'm sorry. I'm nicer than that. My vocabulary just isn't as good as it needs to be. Y'all, racism has been around for as long as people have been around. Something tells me that, you know, they just, even though they might have been the same race at that time and things hadn't even changed or whatever, however God got all the races here through Adam and Eve and Noah and his wife and all their children, however He did the great variety and diversity that we see today, there was people thinking, they're different, I don't like them, I'm scared of them, and other people thinking, I'm better than them because they don't look like me. That's been around forever. And that exists everywhere. I learned this firsthand. Is Sarah in here? My wife's not in here. So, I was dating this Puerto Rican girl. Woo! And so we were driving in my car. And, we were dating. We knew each other from high school, but I was showing her where I grew up because I grew up in Detroit in a predominantly Mexican part of town. And so we're going, and all of a sudden we go, and I see some coworkers of mine, Mexican guy, and a friend of mine, he came to know the Lord and all these things. So I'm like, right on. So I go to pull over, and she starts panicking. She is freaked out. I'm like, what's wrong? She goes, oh, no, no, Mexicans and Puerto Ricans don't get along. Like, how would you even know? You kind of look like each other, the white eyes. Are you going to know? How are they going to know? You don't got a shirt that says, hey, and by the way, I'm Puerto Rican. You know, I mean, are you just going to open with that? Hey, I'm Puerto Rican, and I know you don't like me. You know, I have no idea, but I mean, it was just there. They just didn't. So my friend saw me. He saw it. We drove right by because she was panicked, and I was like, well, you know. So we didn't stop and say hi. So what do you think then my Mexican friend thought of me? He's like, you don't like Mexican people. I'm like, oh! That's not it. But then I learned, how is it that these people so closely related, they don't like each other? North Koreans and South Koreans apparently don't like each other. Japanese people and Chinese people have had a lot of differences throughout the years and don't necessarily like each other. Let me ask you the question. If we had three people up here, one was Korean, one was Chinese, and one was Japanese, are you confident that you could tell the difference between them? What if you heard their language? Could you decipher if you were hearing Chinese, Korean, or Japanese? And yet there's some animosity and hatred that exists between their groups. And to us, the difference would be like, we wouldn't be able to tell. There's something about the human nature that wants to hate his brother. Remember the first murder ever take place on this planet? Who was it? What were they? There's something about the human race without Christ, without God, that wants to hate his brother. Can I tell you, even as a saved person, if I don't walk with the Lord, my tendency is to get angry and hate towards my brother. It's just how it happens. My decision, so that all of us could have peace, is to choose God's side. Now listen to what the Word says about peace. It says, He Himself is our peace. That's where it starts. Living the Christian life doesn't start by coming to church. Living the Christian life doesn't start by reading the Word. Living the Christian life doesn't start with quiet time prayer. Living the Christian life is when you come to Him. He Himself is our peace. It's found in Christ, not in any other. It's found in Jesus, not in any other program, not in any other person, not in any other thing. It's found in Christ. Furthermore, He's the one who makes it. It says, so as to create, they hear that word create, in Himself one new man from the two, thus making, hear the word making, peace. So who creates and who makes peace? Racially. Because that was racial. When He says making one new man out of the two, He was talking about racial groups. The two racial groups at the time was Jews and Gentiles. Now it's funny because most Jews get lumped in with white folks. They're all white, unless you're in the Klan, and then you're like, we won't want the Jews in there either. We send them packing somewhere else. How dumb to try to be a Christian and try to hate Jews all at the same time, seeing how Jesus was Jewish. It's not smart, is it? It's not smart. I'm just going there. Just not smart. Here's my point. Jesus, in what He did, was to take two different groups and say, I'm making you into one group in my name through grace. That's what I'm doing. Can I tell you, that's what's supposed to happen at church. You might come in different groups, but you're supposed to come out one in Jesus' name. You might come in from different cultures, different thoughts, different ideas, different. Even maybe hateful. A lot of Jews were hating a lot of Gentiles. A lot of Gentiles were hating a lot of Jews. Just like in our time. Seems like we got a black and white. Well, that's all right. Because there's two. And I believe if Christ could make the two one through the gospel, He can make the two one again through the gospel of Jesus Christ, through grace. That's what He does. He makes it. You might, and I might, look around and say, I don't see how it can happen. I don't see how it can happen. You don't got to see how it can happen. Seeing ain't believing. I know there's a saying that says seeing is believing. But we're those who walk by faith, not by sight. Believe. Believe in the God who made this whole world from nothing. If you've lost hope in racial reconciliation, here's my challenge. Tell me which is easier. For God to speak into existence the sun, earth, moon, and stars, and everything on them, or for Him to bring two different races together in unity? Which is harder? God can do it. You want to know the material he used to create the sun? He didn't go to the Walmart and buy a whole bunch of sun juice. He didn't go over to Trouvet and get bags and bags of sand to make the ocean and the beaches. Spoke it. Let it be. He didn't go to energy to pay the light bill. He said, let there be light. And there was
light.
I believe in a God who knows how to speak things into being, just because you and I might not see how these two groups can become one. Believe in the God who can make it happen. He can create it. It's at His cross where peace is made. That's where peace is made, is at the cross of Christ. Lastly, it says, He came and preached peace to you who are afar off and those who are near. I believe through the Spirit of God, He's still preaching if we'll listen. I believe that Jesus is still preaching and saying, let my gospel, choose grace, choose the gospel. You're looking only at the world's choices, but hear my message. My gospel is sufficient to bring peace to this world. The Republican Party's agenda is not sufficient to bring peace to this world. The Democratic policy and national agenda is not sufficient to bring peace to this world. White supremacy and black supremacy are not sufficient to bring peace to this world. Liberal idealism and conservative idealism are not sufficient to bring peace to this world. All of them fall short. All of them you'll have to make compromises on the truth. Yet, there is a third option. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is sufficient to bring peace to this world. Therefore, in your mind and in your heart, where the great investment of your time should be is not in figuring out a new and different way or hating your brother and sister, but ought to be investing in the gospel of Christ. That's where it ought to be. I spent way too much time hating. I've spent way too much time getting angry, sitting by myself on my bed, looking up stories on my phone, looking up this and looking up that and looking this up and getting angrier and angrier and angrier. And who did it help? Nobody. Not a soul. I could have taken that same time and I could have prayed to the God who can, to the God who heals, to the God who speaks peace and all other things into existence. I could have spent that time doing that and not hating. And not just searching. But I got caught up. This verse ends, or my handout here ends with, when peace prevails in the community of grace, it does that when we choose to live out our salvation. Listen, He's the one who's made us both one. He made Jews and Gentiles one, that He might reconcile both of them to God, that we both might have access to the same Spirit, to the Father. He has a plan for both. He has a plan that we don't have to choose one or the other. When we choose God, we're saying God's going to work out a play that we can't even see. And that's okay, because I believe in the God who does things I don't see. He can do it. He can do it. Sitting on the couch, getting angry about the world helps 0% anybody at any time. All you're doing is getting mad or getting scared. Seems like people get half scared and other people get half mad. That all leaves us all half baked. It ain't no good. Okay? We need to sit and say, Lord, help me to have the courage to drop all the other options and focus in on the church. Focus in on the gospel. Focus in on this. Y'all, He didn't call anybody else to deliver the gospel but you and me. The church is tasked with that. You try to hold grace in your hand, and you try to hold your political ideology in your hand, and you try to hold your political party in your hand, and you try to hold your race in your hand. I'm going to tell you, you're not going to have enough of anything to make a big difference, just a big mess. But if you'll drop everything else and with two hands get loaded up with God's grace and go out into this world with that, you can make a difference. Y'all get that? I was watching one of the things I was watching was an interview with the chief of police from Dallas last year when those five police officers were assassinated, racially targeted and assassinated. And he said this: stop protesting and come join up. We got openings. We got jobs for you right here on the police force. You want to make a difference. And I thought to myself, that's good. That's good, except for I got one better. Stop protesting, stop being angry, and you invest in your church. You come to church because we got what the police don't got. They do all they can. They do the best they can. And thank God for Christian police officers, men and women. But I'm going to tell you, the church has what they don't have, and what the church can do what they can't do. So my message is, stop protesting. Stop getting angry. Stop joining the wrong side, like I was so tempted in my brain to do. And re-up, reinvest, recommit to the cause of Christ, to the furtherance of the gospel, to the community of grace. Every church ought to be a community of grace. Like a little seed, like a plant, where it is. We ought to be a plant in Grenada where anybody can come and say, I'm going to get fruit that's going to nourish my soul. I'm going to be accepted and I'm going to get something that's good for me here. Because it's a community of grace. I don't know where you are. I don't know how your week's been. I don't know how you're processing all the stuff that's going on. But I challenge you. Instead of trying to answer, find all the answers to the world, talking smack, doing this, getting angry, might just be all in your head. Like mine was mainly in my head. I had to call a friend, had to call a lifeline and say, would you please come talk to me so I can say these things and vent these things so I just don't have a whatever go on in my brain and get really angry. So my friend, who I knew wouldn't judge me, sat down and listened to me spill out all my vile junk. Exactly for the point of getting to this, that wasn't God. And God gives me another choice. Choose Him over the world. That's the choice before us. You're going to choose Him or you're going to choose the world? You're going to choose to be angry or you're going to choose sides in that this world provides, or you're going to choose Him, His side, His way? That's your choice. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for loving us. Do a work. Because Father, there's so much anger, like so much hatred. Your great commandments is to love You first with all our mind, body, soul, and strength. And how can we do that if we're so caught up with our things and our ways? And the second is to love You, is to love our neighbors as ourselves. And how can we do that when we're so caught up in our own way? Help us, Lord, to realize there's nothing the world offers that's appropriate for us to take sides with. Help us, Lord, to be the church, standing on grace, accepting sinners in the name of Jesus, and seeing lives changed, seeing miracles happen, and seeing the God who can speak the sun, moon, and stars into existence speak peace into our time. We love You, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have anything you need to deal with God about, this song is a song of invitation. That means if you want to come up here and pray, if you just want to kneel down and pray, this is your time. You want to pray right where you are and do something with God, this is your time to respond. So you take your time. There may be times when you, like me, struggle with the issues of this world. You might side with getting angry. You might side with getting afraid. You might side with, I think, the vast majority that just gives up and feels like there's no hope. Let me tell you, when you struggle with it, bring your struggles to God. Just bring your struggles to God. He has a way. He has an answer. He has a way of opening up our eyes, okay? Remember, his invitation is never over. He always invites us in. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward for the morning offering. And as they do, I'm going to pray for us. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. And Lord, I know I need you. Thank you for allowing this time. Thank you for this offering. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, I will never It's only through realizing that you're loved that you can love other folks. And I was reminded real quick of a quote that says, only love can beat hate, and only light can dispel dark. And that might seem like just a little bit of stuff to you, but keep that in mind. Real quick, before we go, I want to point out a couple things. One, all these beautiful pictures our ladies did. And I don't know what they call it. Seems like the glory of God reflected in the crucifixion, I guess, or in the cross. But they did that. They had a little painting party. If you'd be interested in the next painting party or whatever else they're going to do, talk to my wife. She organizes those things. And she's here now that I'm not talking about past girlfriends and things. She came in. And so she's over there. Lastly, I want to introduce these boxes to you. Then we're going to dismiss, except for anybody who's wanting to, anybody who's willing. If you want to sponsor a box, if you want to come, we're going to have a time where we come and pray for these right now, right after church here, okay? I don't know how else to say it, except for to say these things make a difference. It's not the box. It's not just the goodies that somebody around the world's going to get. But there's hope. There's a joy. It's a gift. It's a grace gift that lands on some kid's door that isn't going to get nothing if they don't get that. And it's an awesome opportunity for us far away to say to somebody, hey, you're loved by God. Look up. Look up. You're loved by the King. You're not forgotten. You're not forsaken. Your poverty doesn't have to be eternal. You're loved by God. And that's what those boxes represent. So after I dismiss, if you're interested in praying over one of these boxes, sponsoring one of these boxes, and apparently we need, I tried to count them, and I'm really not great at counting. So I kept again. I'm like, there's like 42 plus 12 plus, oh man. And there's a bunch of them, 100 or so. And so if you're interested in this, we're going to do this right after I dismiss the service. We're going to meet over here, okay? So that's an opportunity for you if you'd like to. Let me pray for us, and then we'll move on. If you are going to join, if you want to check out the membership class, it's going to start around 1 o'clock, okay? And there will be food and childcare. All right. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for, again, allowing us to be here. We love you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ready? Break. Hey, I love you all. Thanks for letting me be your pastor.